Morning. Welcome. Will you stand with us? We figure it's going to be a tough crowd. You haven't had any sleep. So maybe if you stand, and I know if you sing, you'll get the blood pumping. Yeah. Let's praise our King together, the only name that matters.
Good morning, Kavanaugh Church family. How's everyone doing today? Good, good. So happy to see you here today. Glad to have you back in the Lord's house together to enjoy this time of fellowship, be able to worship together with one another and gather around God's Word together. It's great. It's a good day. Even if we had to spring forward and deal with this whole daylight saving time, say, who likes the old way better? Who likes this way better? Okay, see? we're going to have some serious fights here. Okay. Anyway, it's good. It's good to see you guys. We're thankful that you made it back and to enjoy what's going to happen in here. We expect big things this morning because we have an amazing God who we can expect big things from. So we've been praying for you this week and the hearts of the people that would be here in this room, and we can't wait to see lives change. So expect those types of things today despite the time changes, all right? We want to welcome our first-time guest. If you are a first-time guest, thank you so much for joining us here today. We love our church and everything that goes on here. In the chair back in front of you, there is a Connect card. If you could, fill that out, and then right after service, out these back doors, there is a Connect counter. There'll be someone there, and you take that there. They'll have a little gift for you, Chick-fil-A gift card, a mug, and a couple other things, and be able to answer all the questions you have about what goes on at our church, where your family could plug in at, and all the services throughout the week. So we want to make sure that you're in the know about those things. But again, like I said, we've been praying for you this week. We're excited that you're here. And right now I'm going to ask you all to stand. We're going to ask God's blessing on our services today. Let's pray with one another. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us back to Kavanaugh, God. We love you so much, and the ability to be able to be here this morning, to be able to worship and grow with one another is something that I know we don't necessarily always think about how lucky we are, but Lord, we are truly blessed to be able to do such thing. So Lord, I pray that we take advantage of this moment and of this time, that we really take that time to listen to your word as it is spoken today to us, God. Impact our hearts and our lives in a significant way. Help us to dig deeper and to think more along your ways and your thoughts so we can stretch and improve our faith in a mighty way, God. Because you are a God of great things, and your love and your hope fills our lives, and we want to do awesome, amazing things out in this world to be a light to this world that desperately needs to know who you are. So, Lord, thank you so much for bringing us all back together. We love you so much, and bless this time both in this room, in our children's area, and any other place that we are meeting together on campus. We just ask you that your spirit flows among this place. We love you in your name. Amen. Greet those around you. We'll get started in a couple moments.
Sing wherever I go, all my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. Thank you.
as I was preparing to speak for this week, I was thinking of all of you. I love being up here. I love being able to lead worship. This is something that I feel like God has called me to. And it's harder to do this part than it is the singing, so just bear with me, okay? I was reading this book. It's called Arise and Shine. It's about being a light in the dark world. This quote really stuck out to me. It says, God is deserving of our best praise on our worst day. Our days can be really heavy. I know that a lot of us walked in here carrying a lot of darkness from the world this week. There's a lot of darkness in this world. But that's when God steps in. That's when he asks us to lean into him, to invite him into that situation, and to trust that his plan is good. In fact, his plan is perfect. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what our circumstances may be today, our God does not change. We can have peace and joy when we invite him into the situation that we came here with, and any situation we find ourselves in. That alone is reason to worship him. And even better, the more that we lean into Jesus and all that he is and all that he's done for us, the lighter our loads begin to feel and the brighter our hearts begin to shine for him. And we get to spread that peace and joy and love into this dark world. When God steps in, darkness has to leave. To put it simply, our earthly circumstances don't change the fact that our God is good, our God is faithful, our God is powerful, and he is all-knowing. He is worthy of our worship today. Even when our lives feel dark, God changes our circumstances. When we invite him in, he changes our perspective. He takes care of us, and he aligns our circumstances in with his plan and his will. We just have to make the choice to worship him in that waiting period. Even in the mundane and the everyday moments of our lives, even when our hearts are heavy and the burdens of this world crush us, we can choose to worship and give thanks to God for all that he is. We can find joy. And in fact, we will find joy when we seek him. He is here with us today, and he is waiting for you to turn that situation over to him. He's waiting for you to let go of the things that you brought into this room. He's waiting for you. Invite him in today. We are ready, Lord, to shine your light today. We are forgiven, we are accepted, and we are redeemed. God can use us regardless of our past. Let's join heaven this morning and sing to him. There is joy in the house of the Lord today.
We worship the God who was.
We are.
Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to come into your house today, into your presence, and just freely worship you. God, I ask if anyone is carrying something, anyone comes in here with a circumstance that's too heavy for them, let them know that you're waiting for them to give that up. Let them know that you're waiting for them to hand it over to you so that you can give them joy and give them peace in those situations. God, I ask as we hear your word today that we're able to have an open heart, an open mind, and be able to apply this teaching to our lives this week. God, I pray for everyone here today that they leave here, leaving the past and their heavy circumstances, their darkness, right here, and they take you with them when they leave. I thank you again, dear Jesus. Thank you for everything you are and everything you've done. We love you. Amen.
Give them a big hand. Great job, praise team. I was praying all morning that they would help wake you up, and they did a great job, didn't they? Fantastic. It's good to be home. My lens, it's good to be back at the church that I love with the people I love. I was in Phoenix, Arizona a week ago, was gone last Sunday to Phoenix, and went there for two reasons. Number one, I was there shooting in the World Championship of Cowboy Action Shooting with 700 cowboy shooters. Went to try to win my division, and I came in second place again. No, this is not good. Don't even clap. This is horrible. I have 7 second place trophies, not a single first place trophy. And I was bummed out, called Angie. I was kind of whining, griping, complaining. She says, well, you got two options, either get faster or quit. So, you know, that's the love I get from my family. I'm in a family of winners. All my kids are winners, and I'm the only loser. Second place is first loser in my family. So let me just share my grief and sorrow with you, all right? But the other thing I did out in Phoenix, I was able to go see a good friend of mine, Daniel Voss. He grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, went to Randall University, pastor of the West Tulsa Church. Back in the mid-2000s, God called him to Phoenix. He began pastoring the Mountain View Church in Queen Creek, Arizona, which is outside of Phoenix. And the church was running about 400 at the time he took over. They now run 2,500. In the past 10 years, they baptized over 2,000 people. It is amazing what God is doing at Mountain View and through the ministry of Daniel. He took me on a tour of the building. We talked, and finally I said, okay, buddy, the reason I'm here is I want to hear the secret of God's miracle in your life and in this church. And we had an awesome conversation, and hopefully some of the things that I saw and learned, God will use here at Kavanaugh Church to help us go to the next level in reaching people for the kingdom of God. Because, guys, that's what it's all about. It's not about how much fun you have in here, how comfortable you are from Sunday to Sunday. That is important. But what this is about is winning people into the kingdom of God. And that is the commission that we have been given. And we're not going to stop until we die, all right? No, hey, ain't no quitting. We're just going to get faster, and we're going to get better, and we're going to win more people to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. I tell you that because they own a beautiful piece of property there in Queen Creek, Arizona, and the church actually owns, Jason, there's a little mountain right behind the church auditorium. Literally, it's a little mountain that they own. I said, do y'all own that? And he says, oh yeah, we do cool things with that mountain throughout the year. And it made me think of the passage I have been working on to preach to you today. So are you ready for Luke chapter 11, verse 23? This is our key verse as we look at one of the big promises that God gives us in the Bible. Here's what Jesus said. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, Go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. God, open our hearts, challenge our faith, and dear Lord, help us to believe that we too can move mountains through you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we all have the same question when we come to Luke chapter 11, verse 23. We ask ourselves, is this real? I mean, is Jesus serious? When Jesus talks about a mountain being cast into the sea, should we take him seriously? Now, I've never seen a mountain cast into the sea. Have you? Anybody ever? I've done my share of traveling. I've seen some pretty amazing things across this world. I've ridden on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. I've actually baptized people in the Jordan River. I went to the valley where David whipped Goliath. I have really seen some amazing things. I've been amazed more than once. I've been left speechless with what my eyes have seen numerous times. But I have never seen a mountain cast into the sea. And that's precisely our problem with this verse. Jesus invites us to talk to a mountain and then command that mountain to be cast into the sea. Not only have I never seen a mountain cast into the sea, I've never talked to a mountain. And as I think about it, I don't know anyone who has. To take it one step further, I've never thought to myself, I wish I could cast that mountain into the sea. Why would anyone even want to do that? But it's right here. I was going to say in black and white, but in my Bible it's red and white. It's words that Jesus said, Mark 11, 23. What are we to do with this verse? Well, I think our first human inclination is to try to explain it away. That Jesus was just speaking figuratively. It's like the dad who went in with his son right before bed and the boy wanted to read a Bible verse, so the dad picked up the Bible and guess where he landed? Mark 11, 23, and he read that verse and the kid got big-eyed, you know? And the kid started commanding things in his room to move. Table, move. Chair, move. Dog, move. The dad immediately cautioned his son against tempting the Lord, but at least this little boy was taking Jesus seriously, which is more than most of us do. I'm in this series, Big Promises from a Big God. It would be hard to find a bigger promise or a more unlikely one than the one we just read from Mark 11, 23. So I invite you to take a journey of biblical exploration with me this morning. Let's see if we can discover what Jesus is saying to us. And in order to understand it, we need to read the whole context of this passage. Mark chapter 11 begins with the disciples passing by the Mount of Olives through Bethany, and they were headed to Jerusalem. After they went to Jerusalem, they went back that evening to Bethany, and we pick up in verse number 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. They went on to Jerusalem, and then it picks up in verse number 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. Less than 24 hours later, they saw this same fig tree that Jesus cursed withered from its roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." And then I want you to notice Jesus' answer. Have faith in God. Would you read that aloud with me? Jesus' words right now. Say it. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, he answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but they believe that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Wow. I mean, dude, even if you lost an hour's worth of sleep last night, you can say, wow, what an amazing promise. I want to share three things out of these verses with you. And as we exegete it, we need to begin with verse 22. It is the command that Jesus gives to us. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. You just said that with me. Say it again. Have faith in God. How simple is this? Only four words, have faith in God, yet how revolutionary those four words are. I remember hearing this great black preacher, E.V. Hill, give a 40-minute sermon on just two words. The words were, God is. In his own unforgettable style, he pressed home the point that everything in the universe flows from this one truth that God is. You figure this out and you've got a handle on life. You deny this, that God is, and nothing else is going to make sense. Church, either God is or he isn't. And if he is, that changes everything. Have faith in God. Why? Because he is. The voice from the burning bush told Moses to go tell the people, I am, has sent you. What does that mean? Well, the only further explanation that Moses received is, I am that I am, which points to God's eternal self-existence. And if you know that God is and that he is the great I am, you know the most fundamental truth in the universe. God is. God can. Psalms 81:10 gives a wonderful invitation to his children. Here's what God says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. In other words, God is saying, you just ask me what you need and I'm going to do it for you. Why? Because he is, God is, and he can. People often call Jeremiah 33:3 God's telephone number, because it contains a very clear promise. God said this in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I heard one man put it this way, Lord, teach us to pray big prayers, because so much of what we pray is just little details. Now, I found it very helpful and challenging. It's not that details don't matter, they do, but sometimes we get so involved in the details, we forget the big picture. And our prayers suffer because our vision is so small. So friend, if you want to honor God, we will believe what he says and then act on that belief by praying big prayers that require an almighty God to answer them. Why? Because we have faith in God. We believe that he is and that he can. I see you're struggling with this, so let me just give you a story that goes along with it. During a drought in England years ago, a pastor called his church to a special prayer meeting. They were going to pray for rain. They had gone 2 months without rain. They were living in a drought. And though it was a bright and cloudless day, the church came and they prayed outside, and a young lady in the church came. Her name was Mary, and guess what Mary brought with her? An umbrella. They asked her, why do you have that umbrella, Mary? It hasn't rained in 2 months. She said, well, since we're praying for rain, I thought I might need one. Everybody laughed. The pastor chuckled and patted little Mary on the cheek, and as they were praying for rain, guess what? The wind started blowing, the clouds rolled in, and sure enough, the heavens opened, and down came a torrent of rain. Mary was the only one in the congregation who went home dry. That's what faith does. Faith brings an umbrella to a prayer meeting when you're praying for rain. Why? Because you have faith. You have faith in God. You believe He is the great I Am. You believe there is no one who is above Him, no one beside Him, no one underneath Him. There is none other than God who created everything that we see with His voice. He spoke it into existence. He waved His hand and planets filled an empty sky. He created mankind out of the mud, and He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. He is a God who knows you personally. He's numbered every one of your hairs on your head. In the case of Brother Jason and I, He knows our facial hair numbers, right? And He loves us. He cares about us. He cares about the problem you're going through today. He cares about the darkness that envelops your life. Kara, you are so right. We bring our own troubles in here every Sunday, don't we? Because we live in a real world and there are real troubles out there. We bring mountains of difficulty into this room. But there is a God who is. A God who knows, a God who cares. And the command from Jesus is, you have faith in that God. So how's your faith factor? That's the command. Number two, the example. It's our key verse. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done to him. Wow. Jesus uses an absurdity to point out the great possibilities of prayer. I take this literally. When Jesus says, this mountain, I think he was pointing to a mountain, and I specifically think he was pointing to the Mount of Olives. Why do I think that? Because as this chapter begins in chapter 11, verse 1, that's exactly where they were. They were at the Mount of Olives. It was a literal mountain still there today. The disciples had traversed it many times. And he is saying, you can cast this mountain right now into the sea. Let me help you make sense of this. I grew up where there were no mountains. So any kind of a hill is pretty impressive to me. All right? We have some mountains south of us, but right around the River Valley, we've got this really big hill just south of us, over in Poto. Cavanaugh. I used to think it was Cavanaugh. I used to think they named it after our church. It's not spelled the same. It's Cavanaugh. Anybody ever been to the top of Cavanaugh Hill? They call it a hill because to be a mountain, you have to be 2,000 feet above sea level. It's only 1,999 feet. So it's still a hill. When I first heard that, I thought, well, why doesn't somebody get a bucket of dirt, turn that thing into a mountain, you know? Now, those of you who are history buffs and know things know that it really is more than 2,000 feet, but they just claim it's 1,999. It's a hill, but it's a big one. It's pretty impressive. Every day when I go home, on my route home, I get to go around a curve right up there where Beverly Enterprise is, and as I make the curve, I get to see Cavanaugh Hill. It's pretty cool. Just to bring this into context, it would be as if Jesus said to me, Will, command Cavanaugh Hill to be cast into the Gulf of Mexico. Because right there at the Mount of Olives, there was no sea. There was the Sea of Galilee not too far away, or the Mediterranean Sea a little further away. But it wasn't just right there, so the mountain had to, it literally had to move. So it'd be like me saying, Cavanaugh Hill, be cast into the Gulf of Mexico at Galveston, Texas, 504 miles from here. Do you see the absurdity of that? And let me tell you what this is not saying. It's not as if Jesus was saying, Peter, you can do this. Peter, you can. You can take the Mount of Olives and you can cast it into the Sea of Galilee. That's not the meaning of this verse. Because Peter couldn't do that. Peter didn't have the ability to do that. Neither did James or John or all 12 of them together. For them, this was a total impossibility. But it wasn't impossible for God. And that's the whole point. You got to remember the context. Jesus had just cursed a fig tree, and the disciples marveled that it withered in less than 24 hours. Those verses come just before this passage, and it's as if Jesus were saying to them, so you were amazed at what I did to that fig tree? What I did to the fig tree, I can do for any mountain that you face if you have faith in God. Whew. For a disciple to cast a mountain into the sea, two conditions must be met, both humanly strange. Number one, you got to talk to the mountain. And then number two, you cannot have any doubt in your heart. What's the hardest part about casting a mountain into the sea? What? Which one of those are the most difficult? Most of you would say, well, it's not doubting in your heart. It's having faith in your heart. But I would submit to you that the hardest part is to have courage to talk to a mountain. I mean, what kind of a person looks at a mountain and talks to it? Let me tell you this, if you do that on a regular basis, people are going to start questioning things about your... Yeah, that is exactly what Jesus tells his disciples they have to do. Years ago, I read a book written by Elmer Towns, a little book called Say It Faith. And what Towns does in this book is argue, based on this verse and others, that God honors those who dare to say out loud what God is telling them in their hearts. Great leaders galvanize their followers by saying out loud, church, this is where God is leading us. It might be to send missionaries to an unevangelized tribe in the world. It might be to raise $5 million to build a new worship center the day after COVID breaks out. It could be to ask the church to give one offering of the year to world missions and challenge them with $70,000 and they give $83,000. It could be for that leader to challenge the congregation to pray for a dear sister who was just diagnosed with cancer for the second time. It is stepping out and saying, this is our mountain, but we believe that God can do it, and we say it out loud. I told Daniel when I was there at his church, I said, Daniel, I mean, God put a dream in my heart when I was a kid. He called me to preach when I was 10 years old, and I lived with this dream in my heart for years before I ever said it, before I ever verbalized it. God continued to impress upon me as a little boy that one day I would lead a Free Will Baptist church to run 1,000 people on Sundays. Now, let me tell you, that was crazy for me to think that, because as a little kid growing up in Midland, Texas, I had never seen of, nor did I know of, a church that ran 1,000 people. That was before big churches, mega churches, large churches. I've never seen that before. And it scared me. And let me tell you, it embarrassed me. There was no way, even when I was a student at Hillsdale, even when I started pastoring my first church, there is no way I was going to say that out loud, because I didn't want people to misread me or misjudge me or think I was egotistical in any way. So for most of my life, I buried that dream. I did not verbalize it. The first time I said it out loud was at this church. When God pressed upon my heart, you need to start talking about that, Will. And I told Daniel just this past week, I said, dude, I'm on the downhill slide, dude. I'm 62 years old and I don't know how much more time I have left. I need to get a little bit faster, and I need to get faster in a hurry. I don't know what you're thinking about this. I don't know how you're ingesting this, but I'm just telling you, as your leader, I'm saying to you, I am in no way content with the way our church is right now, even though this is an awesome church, even though we are blessed by God, even though one day you're going to look back on this and say, wow, back in the 2024 area, God really was blessing Kavanaugh. It really was a great church. You know, I don't know how you view your church, but can I tell you, this is a really good church. But God has stirred up a fire in my belly. And we're not going to be content and happy until we reach all the people in the River Valley that need to be reached with the good news of the gospel. And I declare it to you today. I'm saying it out loud. I'm believing God in this miraculous way that we are going to reach people with the good news. We are going to grow. And when I say out loud what God has put in my heart, I believe God releases power in a unique way because He has put the impossible issue on the table where we can all see it. As long as we keep silent about our dreams and what God is doing in our heart, they are not going to come true. Now, that's always made, I guess, good sense to me since I've been here to Kavanaugh. It's kind of like Babe Ruth pointing to the outfield and calling his shot just before he hit that legendary home run at Wrigley Field. When you speak to the mountain of your impossibility, you are doing what Jesus said to do. Say it to the mountain. Here's Philip Yancey's definition of faith. He said, faith is believing in advance in something that will only seem logical when you look at it in reverse. Sometimes, often in fact, God calls us to believe Him for things that humanly speaking just make absolutely no sense. But when we dare to believe God, we see in retrospect how logical it really was. But we must believe God first, even when it defies common sense. And let me say this again. We all have mountains of difficulty in our lives. Sometimes they are great tasks that are laid before us, and we realize that we don't have the strength nor the ability to accomplish those things on our own. Sometimes those mountains are broken relationships that we can't fix. Sometimes those mountains are habits that we can't break and sin that we just can't get rid of. Your mountain may involve believing God regarding a health issue or a loved one that is away from the Lord, or it may mean trusting God amid a failing marriage. One major part of seeing the mountains move in your life is having the courage to speak to the mountain because you believe God can cast that mountain into the sea. And that leads us right to the application. Look at what he said in verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. This promise has three parts. Number one, it's comprehensive. Whatever you ask for. Whatever, no limits on it. Whatever you ask for. Number two, it's conditional. You got to believe that you receive it. You've got to believe in faith that God is and that God can. And then it's definite. It will be yours. Because God is God, we may be sure He is at work answering our prayers even before we say our prayers. Because God lives outside of time, the prayers we pray today are a certain fulfillment yesterday, even though we won't receive the answer until tomorrow. If you want to get a brain freeze, think about that. Believing in advance that God is going to answer the prayer is just like the young couple who goes ahead and turns that guest room into a nursery before she's even pregnant. Or it's like a hope chest prepared by a young lady for the day she's going to be married. Ron Hutchcraft says it's like buying Christmas presents in September but hiding them until December. We stash the presents in the closet, and then when Christmas Day comes, we pull them out of the closet and give them. You can't give the presents early, or it's going to spoil the joy. In prayer, our part is to trust God completely while we wait for those answers to come. And if your Father wants you to have it, listen, it may not be in your hand right now, but it's in His closet. So in light of Jesus' teaching, I think we can draw the following applications. When we pray, number one, we need to be praying for something definite. Number two, we need to say it out loud. Number three, we should not question God's ability. We need to have faith in God. Number four, persevere in prayer. And then we just wait on God to answer. Writing on this text 150 years ago, Charles Simon said, "No prayer offered in faith can ever fail." Did you hear that? No prayer offered in faith can ever fail. Sometimes God answers exactly like we prayed. That's cool. Often His answer comes in a different fashion. That's okay. Sometimes it may be delayed. Or hear about this one. Sometimes God will give you something better than what you prayed for. I was praying God would give me what's her name, but He gave me her instead. Hey. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Or you know what? He may give us grace to bear what we ask might be removed from our lives, but He gives us grace to endure it and handle it and be stronger because of it. Amen. Yet in all this, God still answers prayers. The only limit on prayer is the will of God. Because if our prayers are within the circle of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will, we can ask what we will, and the God who knows all things will answer our prayers according to His will. And so that's the big promise for today. You can move mountains. It's right there in the Bible. You can read it. Are we willing to believe what Jesus said? Or there's another way to say it. By yourself, you can never move a mountain. But God can. So let's ask Him. Ask Him to do what only He can do. When faced with your mountain of impossibility, go to the Lord and beg Him to move that mountain for you. Pray in faith. Pray that the God who is will do it. In the end, prayer is not a burden. Prayer is not a duty. Prayer is a blessed privilege. We should not pray because we must. We should pray because we want to pray. I mean, why in the world even bother with prayer if we don't believe God is going to answer our prayer? So let us pray with confidence, expecting God will answer our prayers. Nothing is too small, nor is it too great, nor is it too hard for the God of heaven. So let the good people of Kavanaugh pray on. Believe that He is. Have faith in God. And would you bring your mountain to be cast into the sea at the altar today? I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes. There are so many people in this room that have mountains, and I know you're ready to bring them to the Lord. You can come on as I'm talking. You can go ahead and get up and come on up here and pray. But you've got to understand, church, this promise is only for believers. So if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the first thing you need to do is invite Jesus into your heart, and then these promises become yours. All of us has a mountain we need to pray through today. So would you bring your mountain to the Lord? Have faith in God. Cast that mountain into the sea and live on this side of victory. I'm about to pray for you, and as you come and pray for your own needs, I want you to gather around those who are already at the altar. Sister Diana Ortega has battled with cancer. She won that victory over cancer, but cancer has returned. And now we're praying for this mountain to be leveled and to be cast into the sea. And if you would join her and her family praying over her, I know that God will hear that prayer and He will answer that prayer. Dear Jesus, please help us to come in faith today. Help us to believe that You are a God who is and who can. Help us to have faith in You. Help us to cast our mountains into the sea today and live on victory side. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And as you stand up, come on, come and pray for yourself. Come and pray for somebody else. God wants you to make a move today. Say it out loud. Say it out loud today. Cast your mountain into the sea. We exalt You, dear Lord, today. As we cast these mountains into the sea, we pray for victory in our life and in our families. Lord Jesus, as we have prayed by faith this morning, I know You have heard, and I know You will answer. So we praise You, dear Jesus. And everybody in the church said, amen. Amen. Now let's sing it, Angie, okay?
Bow down and praise.
give God a hand, would you? Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated just for a moment. A couple of things, just a couple of reminders. If you are a member of Cavanaugh Church, please drop your offering in one of those black boxes. If you're a guest, fill out a Connect card, take it to the Connect counter. We have a gift for you. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, there's going to be a lot of young people in this room, kids and teenagers. We're going to host the Unity Association CTS Competition Day here. Just real quick, the kids from this local area who are Free Will Baptist, from Free Will Baptist churches, who compete for the national title in whatever category they compete in, starts today with district competition. Those who win today go on to state. Those who win state get to go to Tampa, Florida this summer and compete for a national championship amongst Free Will Baptists. So you're going to hear Bible memorization, sword drill, people singing, single songs, duets, choirs. You're going to, maybe, is there a ukulele group? No, not this year. Just all kinds of cool things. They compete at 4 o'clock right here if you'd like to come watch them. Then at 5 o'clock, Miss Marcia is going to feed the entire group. And then at 6, they're going to come back in here for a special youth service just for them and for those who want to come and participate. So from 4 to 5 to 6, it ends at 7. You're going to go home and take a nap at 2, so you ought to be good to go at 4, all right? So if you want to come up and participate with these guys, it's going to be a great thing. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Naomi's friends are going to meet at Eunice's for lunch. Wednesday night, Brother Devin is preaching for us. The last week of the month, on the 28th, which is a Thursday night, we're going to have our midweek service. This is the 1 week of the year we do midweek service on Thursday night. And the reason why, it's biblical, we're going to have an upper room service. That is the Thursday before Easter. On the Thursday night before Easter, Jesus gathered his disciples, took them to an upper room, and they ate the Lord's Supper. So that's what we're going to do Thursday night, the 28th of March. The next Sunday is Easter. Woohoo! The 31st of March. It's early, but we're ready for it. And it's going to be an exciting, unbelievable, great day. We've got great things planned. In preparing for that, we've given you a little invite card. It's on your chair. We have more of these available for you to use to invite friends and family members. One side, it talks about Easter Sunday. The other side talks about the big Easter egg hunt we're going to have in our church property on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And we have these yard signs. They are at each exit. We're inviting you, asking you to take a yard sign and put it in your yard. It has the metal frame that you put it in the ground with, and we have one for each one of you. Advertise your church, man. It's a great place. We want people to be here, so take one of those cards. I want you to know I love you. God loves you. Get out of here.